Hello and welcome to the 6++ Show, a podcast for your wargaming and 40k needs. Hobby talk, tactics, tournament reports, lore and much more. We have it all. Please welcome your host for the evening, Tom.
I didn't hear you.
Welcome, ladies, gentlemen and blood crushers to that 6++ Show. Once my colleagues have piped down, I will continue. The unruly mob that I'm trying to corral towards good content are piping up. I am your host, Tom. I'm back once again. We're going to be talking 40k tonight. We're going to be getting a bit silly. This is a fun, fluffy one. We're going to be casting people for the 40k multiverse, digging into our very limited roster of actors we can remember and actresses we can remember and seeing what we can put in what position. Should be good fun. And we've got some events that we went to that we're going to recount briefly as well. And then we've got some lovely podcast questions. So welcome. Do pipe up if you're listening in the chat. Let us know you're here. Let us know what you're up to. We welcome any and all interaction, as is the way of the internet. Before we get into anything, I'm going to introduce my cast of players, and I'm going to start where I always start with my dear leader, Chris. Chris, how are you doing, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, yes, I'm very good. I've not done any hobby at all in the last few days, but I think that's okay. And I got reminded of some old world deadlines in the chat, which was an unpleasant awakening. And I was like, oh, yeah. I definitely need to chivvy that along. So I'm going to start on that tomorrow morning. I think it should be good. Have you done anything interesting in your 40k life of late?
So much. I've been painting. I've mm-hmm. been playing. Been mm-hmm. filming. I've been editing.
It's a triple, quadruple threat.
40k slut. Beautiful. It's been nice to get into it. No, I've been had an RTT on Sunday. During the week, my 3D printed fire dragons arrived. So I was like, I'll slot them into the list. That'll be fine. I'll have plenty of time to get them ready. And then I got back from the girlfriend's on Saturday about 8 o'clock, got home and just saw them on my hobby desk. I was like, oh, no. So I spent the next couple of hours slapping three colours on those bad boys so that they could go and kill virtually nothing all Sunday. So that was fun. they are done. So I have been hobbying. I've also been working on some peasant bowmen because we've got a deadline coming up for our next Old World video where we all need to have painted 500 points. I will have painted 20... Bretonian bowmen. So as long as Bretonian bowmen are 25 points each, we're fine.
Yeah.
Spoilers,
I reckon. They feel like the heavy hitting kind of unit, don't they?
I feel like they're probably about 25 points. I'd be very surprised if they're not. And so I think that's where I'm at.
Excellent. Just so everyone understands, this deadline was agreed, I think, February.
Yeah,
like the start of February.
Yeah, but we all say stuff in this channel. And
yeah,
I've got one model painted so far, so I've got things to do as well.
It's going to be good.
Hey, I was at an event. I had to put models back together.
You were painting the stories for last
week. Yeah. You were. I think once I have square bases, it's all going to fall into place. That's all I need to do. Just get square bases and then profit. That's my plan. As you can hear, I'm also joined tonight by the lovely Ed. Ed, how are you doing, mate?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Excellent. What's new in your hobby, 40k world?
So I own Custodes, and I've been practicing Custodes, and I got given a list. Shout out to my friend Rory, who just gave me a list. I very rarely play someone else's list, and to be fair, it's just the list with 15 wardens. It was 14 because points, but with Venetarian. But that just adds enough spice. I was like, yeah, I fucking love this. This is incredible. And then my 3D printer broke. And then I had to do some real surgery because each of my Venetari were in about 12 to 15 pieces. There was a lot of stress going on basically last week.
Yeah.
A lot of stress, a lot of jigsaw, a lot of fixing and painting. And then I went to Manchester, which was a lovely event, had a good time, and now I'm here.
Excellent. Very, very good. Cool. Well, we'll unpack Manchester a little bit in a minute. But before we do that, I'm also joined by the lovely John. John, how are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Building yet more Space Marine models, because apparently that's all I do now, is just paint them in red, black, and green.
And what are these ones that you're building?
These are Vanguard Vets, which are totally not Mark VI Assault Marines that are being repurposed. But yeah, exciting stuff. And two Bold Predators.
Also very nice.
Very fun stuff. But apparently I do have a lot of Old World to paint this weekend, so I'm probably going to try to not game it, but I'm totally just going to paint a Griffin and a Steam Tank, and that'll be my 500 points.
Yeah, that's it. I'm just thinking, just paint something big and scary looking and just be like, look how distracting that is. Did I make 500 points? Close. Maybe. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
that certainly is points, so that's fine. And if I want to run slightly under, that's okay as well.
Exactly. It's the taking part that counts, right? Right?
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of structure for today, what we're going to do is we're going to briefly shout out people in the chat. We are going to round up that plus and do some self-promotion because we're very good at self-promotion, possibly the best. Then we're going to just very quickly recap on a couple of events what we went to. And then we're going to get into trying to cast all sorts of random things for a forthcoming full TK multiverse that may or may not exist, may or may not actually end up being like this. Who knows? And then we'll do some podcast questions. So who do we have in? We have Nurgle Matthew in. We have Entropic Tyranny, who's asking, are we talking Sigmar for tonight, chaps? I don't think we are talking Sigmar. No, we will talk Sigmar a lot in the summer, as you might imagine, but we're not going to talk about it before then. We're going to save our energy and enthusiasm for then. Gordon Chung is in. Welcome, Gordon. Pickleaxe is in. Existence UK is in as well, asking about Ed, if whether Ed has swapped his Old World army again. No, I think he's locked in now. I think he has settled, haven't you, Ed?
So... I'm still playing Orcs and Goblins. Here's the thing. Have you looked at the Arcane Journal? I'm now like, do I want all trolls or do I want it mounted? The problem is, at the end of April, I'm going to the Square Base GT in Nottingham, where I live. And that's going to be great. And I will probably take lots of Night Goblins with Fanatics, an Orc, Black Orc Warboss on a Wyvern, some Black Orcs, and then... It doesn't really fucking matter.
That sounds great the list to me. Itself.
And you know, that's going to be oppressive to play against. So in terms of like things to play against friends, I'm like, which of these two jank lists do I like the look of more? So I do have just a couple of Boar Boys sat on my desk at the moment that I'm, you know, just noodling away at very slowly that need to be sped up on.
Absolutely. So the answer is not completely, but a little bit, Existence UK. Bright Hammer says, evening the Pluse. That's right, we are the Pluse. And then Gordon Chung says, did you notice if those Land Raider lists thrived at Manchester? Not by the standards of their owners. No, they did not.
Some of them only won one game.
Yeah.
Shout out to my buddy Ben.
Yeah, so that I think Land Raiders... I think it was already quite a known thing that Land Raiders and UKTC was a difficult marriage. But it turns out even when the rest of the list teleports, they don't necessarily get you all the way to where you might want to be. I'm personally happy for that, and I think Grey Knights players will probably be happy that the Grey Knights way forward is not triple Land Raider Redeemer and lots of Dreadnoughts. I think they'll be quietly relieved to have got away with one there.
It's actually the Storm Raven, guys.
Yeah, Chris is on the Storm Raven.
Storm Raven is very good.
Yeah.
Grey Knights Storm Raven. Heard it here first.
Yeah, I do think one Land Raider Redeemer in Grey Knights is probably quite good, but I just think three is just so many eggs in that basket with a Storm Raven. That's Chris's
future. Watch out, Luxembourg.
Stop, yeah, don't give away our anti-Luxembourg tech, Chris. That's outrageous. Yeah, that's very important. All right, to the self-promotion phase. Let's move. Chris, lead the way. What is going on in the world of the Pluse right now?
Oh, so much, guys, so much. So, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe this video.
Yes, please do that.
All the content creators say, do that, it will really help us. And you might be thinking, well, how does it? Well, actually, there's an algorithm which says, YouTube says we like this video because there's been lots of people like this video. So, therefore, we will try and show it off to more people. So, if you do like it, if you leave comments, all that sort of stuff, it gets our good name out there. And then when we're rich and famous, you can be like, I followed them when they... only had 4,000 subscribers, not
exactly
40,
that.
So that's the main reason. Yeah.
Exactly. And the comments can be abuse. It all helps.
We're more than Ed really likes the abuse.
Ed loves
so,
it.
So
you know you'll get basically a shout out on this show if you abuse Ed, and that's gonna be wrong.
There are a couple of viewers who have built up the right to give me a little bit of abuse every now and then. I think they know who they are and they're appreciated. Anyone else, I'll
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Come to your house. Look at you disapprovingly through a window and then leave.
Nice.
No threats of violence, obviously.
No, that's... no, no. Yeah.
Not at all. We, of course, have a members area, if you want to check that out. We can have behind-the-scenes stuff. We get early access. And we've got some form of a schedule now.
We do.
And it's kind of up on a three-day rotation. So, yeah, it's going to be early access and all that sort of stuff. And, of course, we do a bit of coaching. Got a few faction specialists here, which if you're interested in that sort of thing, just drop us a message. Really.
Yeah, it's so nice. Please keep the memberships rolling. It's great. The support's really, really good.
As always, if you look at the description below, you'll see that you can order from Composite Games and you get a discount. And if you use the code PLUS, you get even more of a discount and we get a little bit of coinage from that. In terms of content we have produced, well, in terms of the actual videos, so we had Tom's Drakari list design and practice video, Return of the Archons. That's a series going on, and the first one is out. We also had Tom interviewing Ed Watts all about Grey Knights. So he spoke about his kind of all the tips and tricks from the Grey Knight perspective. Ed and Scrivo spoke about Monka. Yep. In there cracking the codex.
Quite good, I hear.
Spoiler, it's the best one.
Yeah.
Find out why by watching it.
Yeah.
We've got episode 5, Rock and Stone, with Thomas, talking all about Votann, and he's joined by some guy called Jake and some guy called James, who are also quite good and play for other teams. Jack and I got together to talk about how to beat Grey Knights in our fortnightly show Matchup Plus Plus. So we talked through all the statistics, what units you're likely to see, percentages, likelihood of them in different lists, the sort of things they can do, and then the sort of things you want to be trying to do playing into them. We also had JP and Davey talk all about terrain, specifically when using Tyranids, in a Bug Watch episode. So if you're a Tyranid fan and you want to know how to play on the different types of Tyranid maps different types of maps like WTC, UKTC, GW, etc., check that out. And maybe the sound volume is good enough. Maybe it's too low. Who knows?
Please let them know, though.
Please let Davey know. Please let Davey know in the comments that the volume is just right or too low. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
so keep it going.
You could maybe use a sort of Goldilocks and the Three Bears scale and let him know which bowl of porridge it is. I think that would be really nice.
I like that.
Just have different people chiming in with which bowl of porridge they would say Davey's volume is. I think that would be really good. If people want to go and do that, that'd be awesome.
And Technobabble, because he'll just go, I don't get what you're on about. But yeah.
We're here for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, as you can see, it's been busy. You know,
we are busy.
From a channel perspective, we're trying to put out. We've got a schedule now. We're going to be putting out really regular content. You can see it. I mean, behind the scenes, just so you guys are aware. I mean, we're close to getting about 200 subscribers a month at the moment, which for us is, you know, makes us feel warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, our analytics are like, this is going well, which is nice.
So, getting the good word. Join the Discord if you haven't.
Oh, please do. Yeah. Get in that chat.
Anyway, that's
Chris, you left one thing off. You left something off. You left something that you made off. You left something that you made off that's on the YouTube right now.
Right now, I did, yeah. So we have spoken about doing like kind of skits and shorts for quite a while. I finally bit the bullet, and last night I was just like, you know what, let's film one. So I'm doing this little series called Dice Rollers. We've all played different games against people who roll dice in interesting ways, and there are a few stereotypes out there of how they're done. And I covered the one. I won't ruin the 54 seconds of enjoyment for you. So yes. Go and check it out, and let me know if you enjoyed it.
I think it's fun. I like it.
I'll be trying to do one a week. So
yeah, perfect.
Also, use the Three Bears Goldilocks scale. How much you enjoyed this.
That's important. Yeah. I think basically, if you just want to leave. Sort of mandatory
leave bowl emojis
porridge related feedback on what you think of our videos. We'd love that. That
was
awesome.
It too cringe, mummy bear, was it far too serious, or was it, you know, the baby bear, and was it just right?
And if you think it's one of your mates is in this video rolling dice, tag them in it.
Yeah, because this the my video was genuinely inspired by someone I played against a couple of years ago. Don't worry, it was only you. And Jamie Clifford messaged me today, being like, "Oh, I really enjoyed the short. It reminded me of that guy."
Yeah.
And so there's this type of dice roller is definitely out there in abundance.
Jack Tite had a theory today that he knew who it was as well.
Yeah, I think I remember Jack Tite playing that guy in the final game and being like, "Yeah, well, we've clocked out because you're rolling. You're taking forever to roll the dice." And then I was like, "No, I just do this and like, you can do every single role."
For anyone amazing. Who hasn't had the pleasure of talking to Jack Tite, he's the most fucking laid.
He's unflappable, so that the fact that this got under his skin is remockable. I was really impressed with it.
You rolled your fucking dice wrong. That's incredible.
Existence UK says our sound is getting better. So it's heading towards just right. That and third bowl of porridge is the
cup. Mic. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. I've got an actual proper microphone now after repeated feedback, so that helps. And Bright Hammer, nice to hear that you're normally a podcast listener, but you've come over to the live show. Welcome. Hopefully this is just as enjoyable for you in a live format. We certainly enjoy it.
Any of the listeners on Spotify or similar, do come and check us out live. If you do, you can listen to it on the same day every week instead of... Yes, whenever it
happens. Whenever it happens, yeah, you're not at the whims of the warp.
Might be Saturday. Who knows?
And you can also see my shit-eating grin when I say things like that.
Chris puts the audio on a ship and launches it into the warp, and when it comes out, is anybody's guess.
That's an old reference, Chris.
Oh, wonderful. All right, so we're going to briefly recap just general experience of a few events that we did at the weekend. We're not going super in-depth here. And then we're going to launch into our main topic for the show. So let's start with you, Chris, because this was you getting back on the scene, getting back into the games after a little while not playing. So how did you find it? What did you get up to this weekend?
Yeah, so I went to the East Anglia RTT. Hosted by our good friend Black Crow, who have got a YouTube channel, and also turned out to have a team of 60 players around the country. I didn't realize there was so
big. Yeah, they're vast. They're a big team.
They're taking six teams to the next ITT, so fair play to them.
It was
cheeky little RTT. I gave my Eldari MSU a run out for the first time. Haven't played Eldari since ITT, so hadn't done any of like the new stuff. So no Incarn. It was just sad because I spent the entire time going, and then when this unit dies, the Incarn can go over there. I never got to do that. I went full MSU. It was very generic list. But I just wanted to see how it went, how it felt, and that sort of thing. For me, did I enjoy playing it? Just three games, obviously. So I played into Tau, old Tau, bit of a newer player. It's a very good matchup for Eldar. That was fine. The second game was into Death Guard, and that was what I was looking forward to because I was hoping to play into. Because I mean, I've played like I don't know 100 games a 10th, and I've still not played Death Guard, still not played Guard, still not played Orcs, still not played Sisters. Like these armies, I've still not played into them. So I was hoping to play into at least one of the armies I hadn't. So I got to play into Death Guard. And I think this was actually a really interesting one because. So I lost this game like 80-something, 60-something. I feel like in general the matchup is pretty drawish. I think maybe if Eldar feels like generally Eldar probably have the edge because obviously Death Guard's bonuses and all the contagion stuff are built around you being close and Eldar are quite good.
Yes, I think respect Eldar is much harder for them. When it was like, here's an Incarn, here's an Avatar, they loved it because they could just putrefire it to death, but now it's actually a lot harder to engage.
In terms of the way the game panned and that sort of thing, sitting was quite... rusty. I actually felt good. There was just two fundamental issues. The main one being the mission was the ones with the Alpha Omega objectives that disappear, which means you have to hold no man's land objectives. Death Guard quite good at primary, Eldar MSU not so much. And on top of that, he got to go first and he was like, oh, I wanted to, because obviously on that mission you want to go second so you can try and get the 15 at the end.
Yeah.
But by him going first, that meant he got to fire up his rhinos and just get that board position. If I go first, I can kind of just send off a couple of units, pin those rhinos in, and then just spend three turns saying, hey, your rhinos are going nowhere, and I'm going to score my primary. And I out secondary, Death Guard.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to do that. Instead, I had one rhino parked in the middle, turn one, and one parked on my home field, like No Man's Land objective, and it was like, I guess I now play Kill You Warhammer. At which point, the shooting didn't go very well, and it just kind of descended. And by the time it got to turn five, I had scored zero on primary, literally nothing.
Ouch.
And I got the 15 at the end, but obviously that wasn't enough. I think it's a really interesting one because I could sit here and I just have explained to you why I feel like that was a really, really hard game for me, the mission and going second. But I made a lot of decisions in that game, right? And I think the theme of this event was that I've been playing Eldar for 2 years, basically. So my micro understanding, my like playbook of the army and that sort of thing, I kind of know what I'm doing. But the macro understanding of the matchups, when you haven't played, I hardly ever play that mission. I never played the terrain before. They've got their own set terrain format. I didn't know my opponent. So yeah. Understanding the flow of the game in that. So for example, I started all three D cannons off the board, Strat Reserve, because he's got two play burst crawlers and I don't want him to just pick up the D cannons. In my mind, those D cannons are going to be really important in getting through those 10 rounds.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the wrong choice. I don't know.
I think potentially. Yeah.
So, like, turn one, because he got to go first, and what happened was my two war walkers went into the rhino, scored zero hits. I mean, that's quite statistically not average. And now I'm in a bit of a bother. Whereas if I pop that rhino straight away, which is definitely a possibility of one war walker, to be honest with you, then I've got a load of shooting that can then chip away into those guard, death guard unit, who are also moved by my rangers. So there are lots of decision points. The decans off the table, where I put my rangers, knowing how the game will go. So what I'm trying to say is that don't just immediately blame the fact that it was a bad mission and you knew it.
No, of course not.
Legally, contractually, I have to say, oh, Death Guard bad, so you bad because you lost Death Guard. Silly.
I accept it. And then third game, I then played into Hypercrypt Necrons. So, yep. Again, Necrons is a bad matchup for Eldar, perhaps the worst on a team's matrix. I put it at probably a 5-15. And when you're playing into Hypercrypt, you don't want them to go second. And on top of this, you're playing Purge the Foe. Obviously, big advantage going second on Purge the Foe. You know how amazing. And I got to go first, so that was nice. So I went first, and... again, it's one of those things where, so I'm going first, and that causes a lot of problems in itself. But, I mean, I managed to make it 89-100 as a loss. So I feel like you know, I almost got, like, what was it, was that like an 8-12, 9-11 something? So I felt like I played it reasonably well, and it never felt like it was out of my grasp. I just struggled with the Purge the Foe element of the mission. Mm. And eventually, I got like 15 units, right? And he's got hard to kill units and yeah. Monolith. Yeah. And it was a fun game. And I think I played reasonably well again at the micro. Maybe I didn't get the macro quite right. But yeah, I mean, my takeaway is that the Eldar just play like Eldar. And it's about hitting, you know, always trying to group together and blow up a target and then move on to the next one. And you have to get that right now. And, you know, like people were asking me, like, oh, what do you think of fire dragons? And I'm like, well, you've got these fire dragons, this five-man fire dragon. And you're like, they come out and they destroy tank. And when they don't, you're like, oh, they're shit. And for the whole day, they did sweet fuck all. Mm. But you then have to remember they are only 85 points.
They are.
And it's that weird thing where in your head, you're like, oh, I've got this unit that kills vehicles. I've just got to drop out and blow it up. But it's only 85 points, so actually maybe the consistency shouldn't be there. And when you're hitting five shots, hitting on threes with one reroll, it's more than easy to only get two or three hits and only one or two wins. And it's -4, but hey, that could become a 6 up in cover or 4, whatever.
I'm sorry, is the Eldar player whinging about consistency?
No, he's not. He's being very sanguine about it. Let's not lay into him here.
Oh, you said sanguine. I'm in.
So that's the thing, is it? Like, Eldar are designed to be hyper efficient and hyper consistent. So when they're therefore not, that's when the army can struggle and get those things. But that would be my two cents. You know, things like fire dragons, they are so good for their points, but it's very easy to fall into the trap of thinking they're better than they are, just because they are so ridiculously costed. And 85.5 dragons would get into nearly every army, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So ridiculously.
But yeah, I mean, things like Warwalkers, they were really good and really shit at the same time. like they just don't die, but they also decided not to kill anything this weekend. But they can also, but they were really tough. I really like them. Two units of Rangers was quite nice, although it's just they're so cheap. But 55 points, that's why you kind of fit them in. I think the overall list felt pretty good. But did I enjoy playing it? It just felt like playing Eldar, which I've been doing for 2 years, so I'm a bit bored of it. So it didn't make me go, oh yeah, I can't wait to play another game with Eldar anytime.
That's fair, man. That's absolutely fair. So Grey Knights next.
Yeah.
Triple Land Raider in the post.
I've only played two games with Grey Knights, but I have really enjoyed those games.
I want to play against Grey Knights with a Storm Raven. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I need to buy a Storm Raven.
good luck. Good luck finding one.
Oh, they are. Dark Angel bastards. But no, I like having the jank, and I like having those decision points, but I don't like having too many of them. And again, 15 Eldari units is a bit more complicated.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But Grey Knights, when you've only got two Terminator bricks and four Nemesis Dread Knights, and you're like, well, I need to play these really securely. Where do I?
Yeah, completely.
But I've got all these options. Like, that kind of suits my wheelhouse. So I'm looking forward to trying it.
Excellent. All right. Well, elsewhere up in the cold, wet north, Ed was playing Warhammer. Ed
was actually really nice on Sunday.
Yeah, I bet it was.
About 13 degrees. It was
lovely.
It was so warm that I've...
It's lovely for Manchester.
It is, actually.
Well, for this time of year, it was quite nice. Yeah, it was so warm that I've left my coat there. So that's a problem to deal with in the future. I realized today and was like, oh no, tomorrow I'll deal with that. I can't be asked. Yeah, well, it's been there for, you know, at least 24 hours already. It's not going to get less lost, so
yeah, that's true.
But I took Custodes, basically, as I said before, the normal list, but you've got a squad of Venatari in there instead of like the second squad of guard or something else. Still running 14 wardens, one squad of guard, some sisters, two squads of Alaris Terminators, but it just gives you the ability to rapid ingress two units in one turn for a single CP, which is real fucking nice.
I really like him. I think
it's a really good tool, and it makes the losing matchups feel much more winnable, because you can just go, this is bad. Oh, hey, here's a fix to the problem.
Here's like, my problem, fix it, yeah.
Did you know Stormlance, they can come in turn one with the enhancement?
I did know that, yes.
But did you know that you can rapid ingress turn one?
I also did know that, yes.
I, in my head, had, because there's one that is can come in turn one on your movement phase.
Yeah, that's the Dark Angels one does that.
Dark Angels one, there we go. I'd combine them in my head. So round five, my opponent rapid ingressed a squad of Space Wolves on Thunderwolf Cav, and I was like, you can't do that, it's only in your turn. And he said, what? And I looked it up, and I was like, oh, fuck.
That thing is silly.
Yeah, it felt like a gotcha, and it fully wasn't, because I was like, oh yeah, that's that thing, I know how that works. He's like, yeah, it's great, isn't it? I was like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
And then you were like, what?
And then he did a really good thing. I was like, oh shit. But yeah, just to quickly run through my games, round one, I played against a Space Wolf player who had a very unoptimized list where every unit was named. I was like, cool.
Nice.
Big fan of that. Anyway, I got to the table talking to him. I realized I had to switch my brain on, because he plays like Magic competitively. The way he was communicating, I was like, oh shit, this guy knows what he's doing. And he's like, yeah. So I just brought the units that I own, because it took me 4.5 years to paint this. But he made like all the right choices. He brought a clock. And he was like, do you mind if we play in this? He apologized. I was like, no, my dude, you do not have to apologize for this. This is fine. So he would flick the clock over to himself, and then he'd go, I'm going into the tank. And he'd just stand there for about 5 minutes and think. And then he'd take his turn. I was like, fuck yeah, this is great. So I had a really engaging game one, when I thought it was just going to be, you know, club a seal, have a nice time, and respectfully club a seal.
Respectfully, you know. Club a seal.
Yeah,
with
really
a grave expression on your face.
he was running two fucking armages, and I was just like, this man's playing like pretty competently. It was kind of scary. But yeah, no, so that was good. Won the first one. Round two, played into Tau on... what's the one where the mission, the objectives disappear?
A supply drop.
Supply drop.
Silly.
Normally
mission.
A very good mission. However, Tau can take me off primary. Especially when it comes to turns 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, they can give you a real case of the not actually there at the end to benefit from the mission.
So I was playing against Matt Norris. Was it Matt Norris? Yeah, it was. And I knew how the matchup went. I decided to play super aggro. I went first, didn't want to. Turn one stage, turn two, made 4 charges. Not a single thing in his army died. No units. I made all the charges, which is not that's normally where it goes wrong for custodies. And I didn't kill shit. I bounced hard.
Oh, man.
So I was like, okay, this is fine. So I then just stood out in the open, popped my Feel No Pains, and was just about okay.
I'm in danger.
because I'd pressured. It was only his turn too, so it wasn't the full efficiency.
Right,
then okay. I managed to claw my way back into it. But what it meant was neither of us scored any primary on turns 4 or 5, which is where all of the fucking primary comes in. So that was a 58-50 point win, which ruined my placings.
But that's classic supply drop. I think when the players are both doing it properly, supply drop is like a 60-point win. That's the game.
No, I was playing custodies. I should have had 100 points.
No, that's not how it works. Even for you with your shiny gold hat.
If I'd killed things on turn two the way that I had lined up my charges, it definitely would have been. But there's the break.
Yeah, absolutely.
You take the hand you were given. I'll come back round three. Round four, I played Alex Clare. Really lovely guy. Watched the show. Also a friend of Ben's. So that was great. We played a very tight game. Again, Space Wolves. Stormlance, in this case.
Nice.
We had the Thunderwolf Cavalry.
Yeah.
And
thing was doing well this weekend. 61% win rate.
It's a really good list. I knew it was a really good list because I lost to it at Nottingham. And this time, I had the damage to deal with it.
Yes.
So Alex brought his units in and I was like, good job you got shooting, because otherwise you would not be scoring any points. So he managed to protect his Hellblasters and his Eradicator Brick really well. So they both got 2 turns of shooting, I think it was, which meant that there was actual, threat into me, because otherwise I'd have just mopped him up. He'd hit me and I'd go, I've been stockpiling CP, because I made the choice to go tactical. So even if he went second... Even if I went second, he could charge me turn two. I'd have 4 CP for an interrupt and a fight and a -1 damage. And
very nice.
Just be happy with it. So those were the good bits. And I was really happy with my level of play. I've been not playing as competitively for a while. I was like, right, I want to get back on the wagon. So I think I played really tight over this weekend. Here's a note. Manchester had like 270 players. So you're like, I could easily just like... glide by, just have a nice easy one, get some space points, not even have to sweat about it. Round three, I hit David Gaylard. Which, and these are his words, he said, this is the hardest mission for you to play me. He was playing guard with the indirect. It was, went down fighting, went down swinging, but it was a very, very rough one to go for.
Yeah, that is the rough.
I'm not saying it because he's told me that he watches the podcast in bed sometimes. I really like David. It's the second time I've played him. I really enjoy playing him.
He has always done right by this channel, and we love David.
I mean, all of Ignite are lovely. Yeah. Definitely not biased, obviously.
Except Brian. Fuck Brian, right?
No, I've played Brian as well. Brian's lovely.
I really like Brian. That was a joke.
If we're naming our favourites, Chris Radford's my favourite, but I was on a team with him for a year. So.
You're all wrong. It's Vic. It's definitely Vic.
I want to play against Vic, and somehow it's just never occurred. But I'm looking forward to that in my future at some point. So.
Oh my god, we need to do an Ignite tier list.
Oh, come on. Well, that's next week's show sorted. Someone get the lotion.
If it's an S across the board, I'm going to be a little bit upset.
Yeah, shit here.
I did say to him that I was going to come on a podcast and say, despite what David said, indirect is the problem. I don't actually think it is. Having played,
he doesn't
now,
have much indirect. Remember,
it's only 560 points, right?
That's not as much as it could be. It actually could be more.
So it was really interesting talking to him. So he doesn't see it as like a murder list. He sees it as a primary denial list.
Yes.
Which, having played against somebody who's very good with the list, I was like, yeah, no, I absolutely see what you're saying.
It is. Yeah.
So I think indirect for me is like number three on the list of things that need to be sorted for Guard. I hate playing against it. And the problem is my perspective is very biased because I think the indirect that Guard brings, the best army to face it with is Custodes, because they're very expensive three wound models that will be dropped to a four up invun.
Yeah.
So it's like the most value you'll get out of your Manticores.
Yes.
But yeah, no, fucking Bulgrins, man. They're so cheap. 160 points. They weren't a problem in this game because I managed to finagle Trajan into a squad of six of them. Trajan killed four of them.
Oh, yeah, Trajan doesn't care for Bulgrin. Yeah.
He does not. And then he went, oh, how many attacks you got left? I was like, I've got another 20 into the squad. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll just pick up the rest of them. which was Trajan, you know, making a bit of money for me and purge the foe. But yeah, Kassakin as well. With the plus one to the save and OC, like, oh God, they're so, so hard to deal with. I knew I needed to go first that game to have a chance, went second. And by the time I got to have a turn, I was already pretty hemmed in. It was a difficult one. But yeah, no, I came out of it and it's one of those where, like, I think I gave as good as I could get in that matchup. I was happy.
It's a horrible matchup in Mishap. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Had a good time. So that was nice. And then round five, my other loss, Josie. So Josie's lovely as well. Really enjoy playing her. This is the second time I've played her. And I will say, last time I played her, I embarrassed myself because from mirror teams. Josie's pretty good with Necrons.
It's okay for you to say that. You can definitely say that.
I took a bad teams list. I wasn't as good as Necrons as her. I didn't understand the dynamics of the matchup, and things that I thought were good were not good in the ways that I played them. So that was not a great match. I definitely gave a better account of myself in this game.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
But it was Hypercrypt Necrons. And Custodes are slow. Even with the Venatari, they are slow.
Monolith likes Custodes, right? Quite enjoys shooting them.
I think I actually dealt with the Monolith really well. I managed to...
Okay.
So I turned one staged, popped the Feel No Pain on the two squads that were out in the open. Turn two, charge some Scorpex, which was a really spicy choice. Josie was running three Scorpex with the Scorpex Lord.
I like the Scorpex.
Yeah.
I like the Scorpex in Necrons.
So
because
what
you need something to push back when if they do actually get in and make problems.
I agree. What I thought was really funny about that match is when you've got two players who know how the game goes, you just kind of get honest about things.
Yeah.
So she was like, is your bait squad charging my bait squad? I was like, yes, this is what is happening. I cleaned up the Scorpex, and then I managed to tag the Monolith as well. And then it took three rounds of combat, but I managed to down it with the Warden Brick that was mostly safe, because the way that the Monolith is, it's very hard for that to fall back if you position
that's the thing. I think if you can get it in a cuddle it can't easily clear, that's a big deal in that matchup. Big deal. That's well played.
So. That was good. But then I still lost by, I don't know, like fucking 97 to 64. So I think that was a really good loss. But I got hypercrypted. And again, just had a lovely time.
That's two very strong players to hit in one run at a big
Especially when I was 3-1 going into round five and there were about 40 odd players. I reckon probably five of them I wanted to dodge, and 35 I'd have been happy having a good game or feeling like I was probably going to win that one.
Yeah.
So. But it was a good experience all around. And
what's your kind of feeling on Custodes coming out of that event?
Really keen to play them in teams. Not so keen to play them in singles. Which is a shame, because I fucking love that. Them. I really, really enjoy playing them. But David said something to me that stuck with me, because last time I played him, I was playing Orcs into Admech. We were playing Hammer and Anvil.
Yeah,
he deployed on the back of the board, which is very similar to what he did this time. And I said to him, you know, one day I'm going to, you know, match up into you with an army that's not massively disfavored. And he goes, I just play good armies. which was such a great, memorable quote. And
it's true though, isn't it?
Maybe I just have to, if I want to start, you know, really cracking out some 4-1-5-0s again, just need to start playing something that plays well into the top armies and not really care about what it is I'm playing, which is a shame.
If you want to win those games or be competitive in those games, then yes, you do, because they will always have something that if you don't have a very, very good counter or match to it,
it's one of those things that I knew but I'd forgotten because I'd just been noodling around. I was like, I'm gonna play some Chaos Knights, and yeah, have a good time. But yeah, no, so I probably need to look at what I'm doing, but not until back end of May, because I've got teams to practice.
Yes, you do.
Captain. Very exciting. Very exciting. All right, cool. As for myself, this was my weekend off. I wasn't supposed to be playing Warhammer. That was my plan.
Sure.
And then Sean Capewell, who's a friend of the show, we love Sean Capewell to bits. He's recently started working at Darkfire Cafe, which is a great venue in St. Albans. And basically, Sean had got his first gig sort of TOing one of their RTTs that they do. But then because Manchester was on, that RTT had dropped below the number of players they needed to actually run the event. So Sean puts an SOS out in the chat. And then me and Adam go, shall we just go and play Warhammer and help the event to actually happen? So we did. And I mean, I'm really loving Drakari at the minute, so I didn't need any excuse to play Drakari. I'm having a great time with that detachment. So I went along and I had three wonderful games. And Darkfire is a great venue. I think it's probably the best venue anywhere sort of in that sort of north of London kind of belt. I think it's just wonderful in terms of the table setup and the terrain and the service. It's really, really good. So I highly recommend it. And I had three very decent standard games. I got beaten by a lovely demons list, which is very specced for dealing with Drakari, which is two great unclean ones and Rottigus. That's a lot of T12 four up in Van. Dark Lances don't love that.
Why was it specced to deal with Drakari, Tom? What do you think?
The theory I've got is, because the first person I saw running this was Jack Sayer. I don't know if Jack Sayer's cooked this list up, but he played against me with a bunch of T11 monsters who don't love Dark Lances, whereas Great Unclean Ones bloody love Dark Lances. So the theory in my head is he's gone away and thought about it, but probably someone else on a Discord somewhere has thought about it. Jack Sayer, if you ever listen to this, let me know. Is this anti-Drakari tech? Or is this... It's probably just staying alive tech in general in this meta. Do you not think just a bunch of T12 is probably good? Because can the big demons really hang with any lower toughness than that? I'm not sure. So that proved extremely difficult to deal with. And the chap, I can't remember the chap's name, I think it was Matthew, former Scott International, really good player. We had a great game and he outplayed me fairly soundly and took that one. And then I matched into Adam on his Blood Angels, which I always do.
Yeah.
And this is an interesting one because I think played correctly, Sons of Sanguinius should demolish Drakari every time. Adam really likes spending his CP on the wrong stuff. So because he did that, he got absolutely annihilated in the end. We had a very good game. And I think also his list has like three massive bricks of death in it, whereas for Drakari you want. For Drakari, you want Paul James' anti-Drakari list from the Saffron Slam a few weeks ago. You can go check that out. Lots of tiny little MSU Vanguard stuff that's cheap and cheerful to go and battle with the Dark Elves. Whereas this was like massive swing, then 10 Death Company die, massive swing, then Death Company die. I'd taken some Talos to this event. They were actually quite good in that matchup because they're lots of damage three. So the minus one damage on the Lamartis brick didn't help them as much, which was quite fun. Mm. But Adam is one of my favourite people to play 40k with, so we had a really good fun game. And then final game, Death Guard, and the lovely John, who was really, really nice guy. We had loads of fun, and he had a big Death Guard tank car park, and I took Bring It Down and Homers, and he was initially really happy about this because his game plan was obviously all the tanks stay at the back and I just put like Plague Marines and stuff in, but then all the Plague Marines were dead and it was like, now to play the game your tanks do have to come and sit in the middle, unfortunately, and they are all going to die. And this was a really fun game for just loads of bullshit stuff like popping out of Venoms, popping back in. It's very good time. I'm very much enjoying this attachment. And so, yeah, that was great. Really fun. Very tiny RTT, and it was nice to go and be part of it. But the main thing is, well done, Sean, for TOing his first event, and really proud of him for all the work he's doing at Darkfire. He's having a great time. He's not found work easy in the last few years, so really, really proud of him, and it was lovely to see him. Awesome. Okay, right. We're going to move things along. Firstly, we're going to shout out Swissly in the chat, who says bonjour, and the great news is that his new gaming bum bag has arrived today. I'm sure that's extremely cool, Davey. I look forward to seeing it. I hope it has a Hormagon on it.
I'm picturing Davey with this. I'm like, it's just such a Davey thing.
In my head, I think he always had a bum bag, don't you?
No, he's always got a papoose with a baby on him. That's why he's got a baby bag, not a bum bag.
Yeah, indeed. But that's awesome. I hope that me and Davey are going to be playing our league game, which is Thousand Sons versus World Eaters at War Games Workshop on Friday. So, Davey, I look forward to seeing that. That's going to be fun. The Corn Lord of Skulls is going into action against Thousand Sons. Let's see how that goes. Should be really fun. So now we're going to move forwards to imagine a future where 40K
TV and film is suddenly starting to be everywhere. Henry Cavill has taken the helm and all of this wonderful TV and film starts getting made. We were pondering, who would you actually get? What actors and actresses might you want to see in a 40K universe as displayed on TV and film? Now, I think obviously there's lots of ways you could approach this. I'm very curious what you in the chat are thinking about. What sorts of shows would you want to see? What kind of people might you want to see in it? How would you go about making film and TV for the 40K universe? What sort of visions do you have of that? But we've had a little go at taking some early shots at thinking who we might put. And some of these have been done more seriously than others. But we have nonetheless put a little bit of thought in ahead of time, which is very uncharacteristic of us, to think about how we might cast the 40K multiverse. So I don't really know where I want to start with this, but I know Chris had some good notes, so I'm going to single Chris out at the start. and Chris what?
No good notes. Chris looked at this show topic and went, fuck, I don't really have much to contribute here. So I read some of the, like, the books. I like watching TV, but I haven't really made too many connections with this. I don't feel so. I just kind of went down a slightly different path to a serious one, I guess you would say. So for some reason, so my first one is Angron would be Vinnie Jones.
I like it. I like it. I like it a lot.
You know,
I'm the Red Angel, bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, Tom. Tom, you've just... Oh, God.
We've got to get that anger in. I just feel like he could, you know, he'd really get that
proper vein popping rage.
Okay, so that
so Vinnie Jones is anger. I'm sorted. Okay, good.
So we're off to a start now. Sanguinius, there are so many fantastic options out there, I'm sure. For me, Owen Wilson, you know,
you kind of look a bit like Owen Wilson, Tom, you know.
Yeah, I do. Guess which bit of him I've got.
I'm not touching this with a barge pole.
Girls have literally told me this, and I'm like, you know, that's the guy that's like famously, that's the bit of him that's not very good looking, right?
You know, it's really the bit that's broken as well, specifically.
I hadn't really sort of narrowed down why, and then you said it. I was like, oh yeah,
it's a very specific bit of my face.
Oh wow!
I'll take it. I think Owen Wilson's a very striking-looking man. That's actually I was coming up completely blank for Sanguinius, you know, and I quite like that. I think that's quite fun because it's Zoolander where he wears like angel wings. I think at some point in that.
Zoolander was the inspiration. So for Vulcan, Terry Crews.
Just great big muscle, love it. Will he make his pecs dance at any point?
And that sounds like Vulcan, right? Admittedly, I've not read any Salamander lore, but I'm fairly
His pecs dance in a lot of the books, I think. Yeah. That is his power, isn't it? Perpetually dancing pecs, I think it is.
Yeah, that is what.
Oh, his Legion, the 99, yeah.
Nice.
That's pretty sweet as well. Do you want to just get through all of yours, or do you want to let someone else take over for a bit? How you feel?
You know what? Mine's shit, and then I can let the other people after. I've only got two more. So, Alpharius Omegon. Okay. I was like, well, what famous bald-headed actors are out there? So Vin Diesel and Jason Statham as my...
Nice. Okay. Okay.
Do you know, I mean, do they look the same? No, but they're both cool.
Also, Jason Statham's voice works very well for, do you know who the fuck I am?
Yeah.
No.
No. Not a clue, mate.
No, I forget you went to my wedding.
So Vin Diesel and Jason Statham in Alpha Legion 4, 2 Alpha 2 Legion. That's where we're going with this. Okay. Love it.
And finally, perhaps the most inspired choice, Rogue or Dawn. We need someone very stoic, very deadpan. So I went for, and you'll understand this if you've watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the late, great Andre Braha, is it?
Yeah, Braha, I'm not sure. I saw that choice and I thought that was perfect.
Just so deadpan, right? Just
Yeah, because Dawn's a bit like that with the sort of, there's a sort of pseudo humorlessness at times, but like a little bit of mirth in there. Yeah. I think he'd be a great cast for that.
So that is literally my only contribution to this show. You guys,
you still get to slag off everyone else's effort.
I mean, do you want to go get a tea, coffee, something like that?
I might just pop off now. No, yeah. But yeah, that's all.
Not on the stream, Chris. We've got a couple of contributions on the chat. Existence UK says, not Horus Heresy. Don't worry, you can cast whatever, man. Doesn't have to be Horus Heresy. Charles Dance as Gaunt from Gaunt's Ghost. That might be quite fun. That'd be quite fun. Yeah, I didn't really have an idea for Gaunt. I was struggling a bit with that. Did I write him down at any point? A little bit younger, only a little bit. I was thinking maybe Benedict Cumberbatch for Gaunt could work a little bit, but I think maybe he's a bit too nice looking, possibly. Needs to be a bit more grizzled, I think, Gaunt, with the sort of been through the wars look on a guardsman. And Entropic Tyranny says, a Death of Stalin style show about the Emperor being in his chair. Gilliman is played by Will Ferrell. Oh my god.
We need to recast Owen Wilson then, because he needs to be in that. But Sanguinis is dead by that point. We need
I've sort of Brat Pack Primarchs would be quite a fun, stupid way of doing it.
Adam Sandler's in there as well.
Yeah. Oh my god. Amazing. Okay,
and Rob Schneider plays the Golden Throne.
Ed, did you have any ideas for this? What was your thinking when presented with this wonderful brief that really allows us all to thrive?
I haven't read the 40K books, and I don't watch TV. So I went purely on vibes. I'm going to start from the top, the ones that everyone's going to be like, yeah, of course. And then I'm going to get a bit more esoteric.
Okay.
So I said a couple of these before we went live. Hugo Weaving, Eldrad. Yep.
I like it. I
feels
like it
cheating.
It does feel like cheating, but he would be great at it.
While we're on, you know, Lord of the Rings, because that's one of the few things that I do watch. Celestine, Cate Blanchett.
I think that would work. I think that would work. I think Cate Blanchett would look great with Sisters of Battle hair. I'm here for it. I think it would work with the face, for sure.
Carl Urban, I'd love to see as just any Inquisitor. I don't even care. Like, no name, just do a series where Carl Urban is some sort of a badass, but in the 40K universe.
Yes.
It's just the boys, but, you know, 40K.
It's just essentially the boys, but Carl Urban is an Inquisitor hunting demons instead. Well.
If it isn't demons,
it definitely works. It works. He'd look good with a sort of witch hunter's hat as well, I think.
He'd look good in anything. The man's
that's probably true. Incredible. Yeah.
So those were the obvious ones that I had. And then I want to go a bit more esoteric.
Okay.
Corvus Corax, Peter Stormare. Has anyone seen the guy in the coat, the comic book character that they made a film of? God, my brain's gone. It's the
comic book character in a film.
Reeves played Constantine. There we go.
Okay.
If anyone's seen Peter Stormare play the devil in that,
I think he
would be incredible as Corvus.
Excellent. Okay.
Because he is like creepy, but in a really sort of like human. I don't know. It's worth watch the film.
I actually haven't seen it, so I actually might go and watch it.
It's a good mindless film, I would say.
It's a great film, just a shit adaptation. So it's great as a film, but the source material it's adjacent to.
Right. Okay. Which I think our 40K multiverse is going to be. I think we've fairly firmly established.
Probably needs to be.
Yeah. Gilliman as Will Ferrell is a shoo-in at this stage, so I think that's just happening. So we all have to come to terms with it.
I in case that didn't, you know, woo the crowds, I did go a little step back and I thought Alan Ritchson as Gilliman from Reacher. You know.
Okay. Nice. Okay. Yeah.
I feel that's a surefire win. That'll get them on board. They'll be listening again, because then I can say Cyphus Kane,
mm-hmm.
Peter Serafinowicz.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah, and that again, you've got a slightly more sort of world weary look on him.
And he is an absolute bastard as well. So
that's the thing.
Yeah, that would really work.
I wonder which way he'd take that. That would actually, that's one of those actors where I'd actually be interested to see how that was done as well.
Other than that, I also had one for Alpha Legion, for Alpha and Omega.
Okay.
Daniel Radcliffe and Elijah Wood.
finally get them in the same thing together.
Yeah. I feel like he probably could get it done as well, because Daniel Radcliffe has done like off-the-wall stuff after Harry Potter, because he doesn't need the money, right?
No, he doesn't.
And I feel like if he asked Elijah Wood, he'd probably just be like, oh, yes, that sounds like a lovely time. Which is how I imagine he talks.
I didn't realize he was like, I forgot.
I didn't have much else on there. And I don't know that people agree with this. I had Doug Johnson as Lorgar, just because he is unsettling. I thought that would be interesting.
I don't know who Doug Johnson is, so I'm just going to quickly Google him.
All of the creepy characters, like Pan's Labyrinth with the hands.
That's Doug Jones. Ooh.
Who did I say?
Doug Johnson. Because I've got him. I've got Doug Jones cast Doug as Jones. Something as well. I've got him cast as well, but not the same character.
No.
Oh, yes. He absolutely does play creepy people. Yeah. Goodness, yes.
Abe Sapien in Hellboy. He was in Star Trek Discovery. The main thing in Pan's Labyrinth with the hands.
Yeah, he'd be a good be a good bad Primarch. That feels like a really smart a smart choice. Get some tattoos and whatnot on there. They're pretty creepy. Very nice. Did you have any others, Ed?
That we'll call it there, and maybe I'll sprinkle a couple of others. Those were the best ones, I think.
Wonderful. I'm going to move it round to John. I'm hiding myself at the back. Okay, John, what else have you got?
So I've gone a bit of a mixture. So I've gone a bit more into the Black Library side of things. So
John actually has good understanding of both film and TV and the 40K lore, so he's probably
pop culture
for anything actually making any sense here. So we're hanging our hopes on you, buddy. Let's go.
So I went for the classic Demonifuge, so one of the first big graphic novels that they did as Black Library. And Ephriel Stern, I've cast as by Florence Pugh. Because I think she can act as anything and it'll be believable.
Okay. Plus, I like it.
Very strong character. And then to go with her, Kaiganil, Matt Smith.
Oh, that's fun. That's a good use of Matt Smith. Yeah, Matt Smith was on my list of who could do that kind of elfin look. Yeah.
But without going to anyone that's been in Lord of the Rings, it was a challenge, right?
And he can do the floppy hair, couldn't he?
And then for Eisenhorn.
That's good casting so far. Okay.
Playing up on the rumours, I put Gary Oldman as Eisenhorn, because I don't want him to be young. I want it to start with him a bit older. And I know he's a big Warhammer fan, so he's going to jump on that. And then Cherubiel, his demon host friend, I cast Doug Jones. Because
there you go. Because he's got that look.
Fits, right?
He's got that sweet demon energy. Yeah.
And then if I'm going to Horus Heresy, I had cast Charlie Hunnan as Leman Russ.
He's got that Space Wars vibe. He's got a very good Space Wars vibe,
Seen him in, what's the biker thing?
Sons of Anarchy.
It was just literally like, it felt right. Because
you need that kind of rugged.
Sides.
Yeah.
Conrad Kurz, on the other hand.
Okay.
I've gone with Nicolas Cage.
Okay. That's actually a lot better.
If you've ever seen him play a vampire...
Yeah.
Also,
it's believable.
The picture of him as Superman. As soon as you said that, I was like, "Oh god!"
Yeah, that brings a kind of madness. I quite like
it. Just super, super weird, right? And then for the Emperor, Alan Rickman.
Oh, fun!
Because I think that man had such range that just believable. Yeah. And him with long black hair was pretty cool when he was in Dogma as an angel. So. I could see that. And then for 40K, one last magic. One. For Grandmaster Azrael, I went with Tom Hardy.
Interesting. Okay.
I've seen him play some pretty tough guys and psychotic guys, and Azrael is a fucking nightmare. Like, torturing Luther in secret vaults and all that sort of stuff, there's a lot of physical presence needed, and I think he could do it well.
I request that he has the mustache from Bronson.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Existence UK says Cavil as Ravenna. None of us have actually cast Cavil in any of these, which is interesting. If I was doing Heresy, I think I'd put Cavil as Loken. I think Loken as Cavil would be quite fun.
Yeah, I don't think he's
going to
be. You
have him in a sort of main, but he's not going to be, is he, probably. But and apparently, from Entropic Tyranny, apparently Gary Oldman was spotted at Warhammer World a couple of weeks ago. Casting is happening soon, so we might see him in the Amazon show. That's pretty sweet.
That's why I thought of him. I was just like, it felt...
He's pretty sick, so I'd take that. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, I'll add a few bits of mine as well, because I've thought about this a little bit, mostly in line with my own interests, because I'm biased. I think it'd be fun to do a Yanari series where Gilliman is also involved, because you've got to do it, right? And I think Tilda Swinton would be a sick Yvrain. Mm. I think she's got that eldritch mystical vibe. Yeah. I think she's quite a strong, fierce. I think she'd be awesome. It got me thinking about who you'd do for Gilliman, and I think you've got to go for a sort of blonde, goody two-shoes type look. So my first thought was actually Rupert Penry-Jones of Spooks fame from back in the day. He's quite a big blonde man, but also Paul Bettany maybe could work. Mm. You've got to be quite bulked up to be a space marine. This was the recurring problem that I was finding. And then I was actually thinking about some of the minor characters from Horus Heresy, from the first few books. So the Remembrancers. So I think for like Ignace Carcassi, I think Hugh Laurie would be sick. Have Hugh Laurie sitting around narrating all the space marines. I think that'd be really fun. And then Euphrates Keeler, who ends up being like one of the first saints of the faith. Having listened to those audiobooks, I think Emma Watson would nail that. She's quite a sort of strong, but quite needling character. And I feel like sort of grown up Hermione vibes might suit you for Euphrates Keeler. I've already put Hugo Weaving in as Malkador for my universe.
Nice.
And then I was thinking Hiroyuki Sanada from the new Shogun show for Khan, because I love him in Last Samurai. I think that'd be very good. But then at this point, it just divulges into Space Marine, Chaos Space Marine chapters that I like and who I would have to play who in that. So we've got for Death Guard, Mads Mikkelsen as Mortarion, I think would be quite cool.
Yeah.
Because you only ever really get his eyeline, Mortarion, and I think Mads Mikkelsen would look very good there. And then for Typhus, I thought Rory McCann, so the actor of the Hound from Game of Thrones, has that same very... Yeah. Typhus is quite a grizzly-looking, bearded, sort of long-haired guy, and I thought the Hound actor might suit that, and they'd both be quite a grizzly, grimy pair together. I'd quite like to see that if you're doing Death Guard-focused stuff. And then I went off on one for what would my ideal Night Lords TV show have. And Talos, you'd have Ben Barnes. He's quite a dark-haired, serious-looking guy. I'd have to scar him up a bit. And then for Sevitar, I don't know how you say it. It's the Welsh lad that plays Ramsay Bolton in Game of Thrones. He's very good at evil, weird, chuckly baddies.
Oh, yes.
Give him jet black hair and he'd do a mean Sevitar, I think. And then I had Willem Dafoe as Comrade Kurz. I think Willem Dafoe would be quite a fun, malicious Comrade Kurz. Channel that green goblin energy. Awesome. There's obviously a lot of casting still to be done, so please do let us know in your comments if there's anything that we've obviously and glaringly missed. But we're going to move along to podcast questions and put Chris out of his misery, because he's just holding on here. Look at that face. He's just like, I just need to get through a couple more minutes.
Very quickly before we do, I have one that I want to cause an argument with.
Go on.
Charles Dance.
Yeah.
Obviously in the cinematic universe.
Yes.
But which of the many, many suitable roles does he get?
Who do you give him? He'd also be a great Malkador.
Isn't he the one that they basically sculpted the lion off, right? I
mean, is that who he's modelled on, is it?
Hello. I'm Charles Dance.
Like... Famously how he sounds.
I'm Charles Dance, don't you know? Yeah, don't shoot me on the toilet with a crossbow.
Charles Dance! Oh, no. Okay, so not the lion then.
No, definitely not.
I'll snip that bit. That can be our next YouTube short.
You're welcome.
Could he be an emperor? Could you have him as the emperor?
Absolutely could. I think he'd do really well as anyone who is old, is the problem.
Yeah.
I've just been playing the Snowdies. So I like any sort of like stately commanding figure, Charles Dance will do well. So I've just been playing Custodes, so I was like, oh yeah, Trajan, obviously. But then you just go, hold on, there's a lot of roles. I don't think Trajan would get that much screen time, so.
Probably not. No. I feel like he'd be quite... Yeah, he's got to be like a serious power broker in the universe, right? And then you just have him doing all these deep political conversations.
A High Lord of Terror.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, could be. Could be.
All right. And then very quickly on the other end, Danny DeVito. God. I want him in there. I don't care who he is.
Who do you cast him as?
Belisarius Call.
Ooh,
that shout. Could be. That could actually be quite fun.
That's a really good shout.
Yeah, Danny DeVito. Chris.
Say it with enough conviction, you make Chris crap himself. It's brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. When you think Belisarius Call, you think Danny DeVito.
He goes on.
They modelled the original model on him. Yeah.
So what happens in the book at the beginning of Dark Imperium is he Call leans forward blasting. To Gilliam and goes, "In this challenging time, would you like me to give you an egg?" Or something along those lines, right?
Can I offer you an egg?
In these trying times, right?
In these trying times.
And it happens to be a Primaris egg.
And Tropic Tyranny says Danny DeVito would be a Votan leader. Yeah, I mean, you could go that way. Gordon Chung says Brett Goldstein as Sly Marbo. That's a good pick. Nice. Brett Goldstein would be sick in a 40k series. So that would actually be a very
And he bulks nasty. Up well, actually.
Yeah, he'd, no, he does. He does. He'd be any briefly. Any member yeah. of the guard he would be, he'd be sick at. That'd be really, really good. Very, very good. Magnus the Red. We haven't tried to cast Magnus the Red. Who'd you get for him? Because you can CGI him up a bit for him.
Hmm.
Who's the guy that plays
Tom Hiddleston that you wanted to get in, aren't
you? Well, I couldn't work out where to put Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah,
he could, I was he thinking... could, him as the tricksy wizard just feels a bit obvious, doesn't it?
And but also that feels more Thousand Suns than like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
not Magnus, but like the lower
Man or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
I could see him as Araman. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he needs a big. I don't know. We'll cast Magnus another day. It's all right. We're going to move this along. Chris is dying inside. So we're going to move now to podcast questions. You can chuck more questions in the chat. We will endeavour to answer them. You can obviously super chat. No one super chatted to buy Chris a hat, which he was going to wear on stream. So it's not
outrage.
Too late. You can super chat now. Chris will wear a hat bought with the proceeds. And obviously, you don't have to super chat much. Chris still has to go and buy a hat with that exact amount
I'll
of money.
Buy the hat with that money.
And he'll buy a hat. It'll be the super chat hat, and he'll wear it until someone upgrades it. Go for it. Hiddleston is Fulgrim, says Gordon Chung. That's interesting. Yeah, I didn't think about Fulgrim either. That's a difficult cast. They have to be exceptionally nice looking. Like, exceptionally. But also kind of creepy.
Oh, who's the guy that played the Wood Elf King in The Hobbit?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what he's called, but...
Lee something. Because he was in...
Oh, that's not a bad
Guardians of the Galaxy. Because he's got a great... cheekbone
yeah yeah that's not at all a bad shot actually yeah. I don't know who it is but I know who you mean. We will now move it to the questions. So what we got, so if you were all new Space Marine recruits and you had a choice of which unit or vehicle crew to join, which would you want to be part of? That's from Green Giant.
Lee Pace.
Lee Pace, very nice. So, you're a new Space Marine. What unit or vehicle are you going in?
Is this competitively or narratively?
I think with being honest with yourself rather than like what's competitively viable in a toy tabletop game.
Deathwing Knight.
You'd be a Deathwing Knight.
Yeah, man.
That was a new recruit, so you cool. would be.
Yeah, it would be.
Let's assume yeah. you've made it through to whatever
anything,
you want in this.
I'd just be picking there because then you're in the inner circle. Which is pretty badass.
Grey Knight Terminator is a pretty cool.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it'd be a pretty horrendous job. I'm not sure the life expectancy is probably not great, but
no.
You'd look
well
you'd
in
look
the fluff.
In the
I think
you'd be like, "I look good."
Yeah, yeah, that's true. You would look awesome.
All that lens flare off your silver armor. Whoa.
Yeah, that helmet. I'd be like, "Oh yeah." So, yeah.
Chris talking about his helmet going on.
I would definitely be a Terminator with an assault cannon, the one that gets ripped to pieces by a gene stealer and just goes, firing tracer shots into the sky as my
that
guts
assault
are
cannon
pulled out.
Always looks like the most fun of any gun a Space Marine ever gets to fire, though. Yeah. I just absolutely let it go. I don't know what I'd be. I'd be useless in any role you could put me in. So there just isn't a good one, really. I'm gonna say librarian because at least then being learned would be vaguely useful before I explode myself and get everyone in massive trouble when I turn into a bloodthirster by accident. Yeah. Great. Okay. Next question. We have got, due to budget constraints, scheduling conflicts, you are forced to select one actor / actress to play the parts of both Captain Badrock and Ivrain. Who do you pick? I am standing by Tilda Swinton. I think she's got the range to handle Captain Badrock. I think she'll be fine.
It's okay to be wrong, Tom, but the obvious answer, and I've thought long and hard, in fact, all afternoon, it's Christian Bale. because he's such a method actor, he would literally change his form to do both.
Yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable. Chris, who would you get to play Captain Badrock and Iv Rain? He's so happy that this is his Tuesday night.
I can't even begin to think of literally anyone.
Well, we're not moving on until you do, so you better get with it.
Well, I'm
Ed, in the meantime, obviously, I'll move it to someone who can handle this question.
Andy Serkis.
No one has said that they would want Chris Pratt in their universe, and I love
that's
Chris
actually
Pratt,
true.
So Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt as Captain Badrock and Iv Rain.
No, that he needs to be in it. So Chris Pratt.
Nice. Okay. Awesome.
Solid.
Can you hear me now? There we go.
I can hear you, Ed.
I may have leaned on my fucking microphone cord and pulled it out.
Nice.
I think awesome. It was a while ago.
Who do you want to play Captain Badrock / Iv Rain?
Well, it's Kate Bush, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, very good, very good.
For similar reasons as Tilda Swinton, I think. And Harley says in the chat, evening, what have I missed? The whole fucking show, Harley.
Yeah,
get
Harley,
your shit
missed,
together.
Harley, you've missed the entire show.
Do you call this?
Every week.
Honestly, Harley, that is this tardiness we will not tolerate. Absolutely not.
During your first warning.
Yeah, absolutely. You missed out on
your last.
You've missed out on a lot of really high quality 40K multiverse related content. You know, we're really solving it today. It's been pretty good. Pretty good. So next question. God of the Gurus says, how would you cast for diversity? I assume still relating to our 40K multiverse.
Interesting. I think we did in our what we chose.
I think you just break it open a bit, don't you? You don't need to be completely rigid to sort of what our kind of headcanon is.
Yeah.
And I think the thing with the Space Marine Legions themselves is that they're not all literally recruited from one point across time, are they? They recruit off different planets
like
as they go. Yeah, exactly. I do think with the particular chapters, it's nice to have to build into similarities in some ways because the gene seed and all of that, it looks quite nice. But again, you're not really bound by doing that in one particular way. And then the thing with 40K lore is that it's a very diverse place when you read and listen to it. There's tons of stuff going on. So I think you just lean into it. And then add demons and aliens and all sorts to add additional flavor and get exciting with it.
All the diverse.
All
that
the
MSG of NIDs.
Yeah.
Everyone played by Doug Johnson?
Doug Jones.
There we go. I was about to do it again.
And finally, we have High Fleet Phil, who says, who would play Cypher's Kane and Jürgen? For some reason, I picture them as Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant in my head.
I mean, that's just back to, you know, the death of Stalin, isn't it? That's
yeah, it is. Yeah. I think there's probably a comedy version of this that's more fun than a straight-faced version of it. That would be quite fun. But when Chris is going to do it all in his skits anyway, so you've got years of that to look forward to.
I might drop them a message to see if Chris Pratt's available.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you've got a wig to do Magnus the Red already, right?
He actually does, yeah. That's our Magnus the Red. It's Chris in that wig. Perfect.
There we go. Narrated by Jonathan Keeble, though, because everything has to be narrated by him, because that's all the audiobooks, right?
Very important, yeah. Absolutely. Cool. Right, well, I think that's a very sensible place for us to wrap up. We have been 6++. We have brought you that 6++ show. We'll do it again in the future. Please do hit like, subscribe, leave us a comment. Tell us which of the Goldilocks porridges we were tonight. It's very important that becomes the yardstick going forward in all of our content for the rest of time. You can become a member and support us if you'd like to. We'd love it very much if you did. We will see you all quite soon. And Aaron Wilson has, in the time I've tried to wrap up the show, left a question. How will you deal... Aaron Wilson asks, how would you deal with the inevitable backlash of casting non-orcs as orcs and non-Eldari as Eldari? I think in our universe, we'll just be eating it up and dealing with it. And we'll see what happens. It's going to be really hard. I think it's not easy to get orc actors at this moment in time. They're just not interested.
They're quite limited, aren't they?
It's just not a profession any of them have any interest in. And it's extremely difficult.
Being a fictional creature doesn't help either, really.
No, exactly. It's really tough. Really, really tough. Thanks so much for listening in, guys. We will see you all again next time.